Okay, so we really have one last point in terms of the sugya that we've been discussing, and then hopefully that's tomorrow we hope to start up the next sugya. But we've been discussing the sugya of the issum et rabbanon of having fleishiks and milchiks on the same table. We mentioned that an issum could be violated in multiple ways, either two people eating on the same table at the same time, or one person eating with, I'm eating fleishiks and milchiks on the table, or vice versa. And we also made an important point that this Isser, the Rabbanah was not made across the board. It was not made as a low plug. It wasn't made under all circumstances. Chazal themselves actually give us a certain limitation to this Isser. The heter of Bezach Sinai, we have two guests at a hotel and they don't know each other and therefore there's no concern of them sharing food. So that would in a sense circumvent this entire Isser. What was unclear is, are there other examples that would also circumvent this Isser? What if it's not as clear as the case to Gemara? What if it's just simply having a heker on the table, having something different on the table, would that also solve the problem? That was a big, big machlokes. But we spoke about the possibility of having multiple people around, and then we started to discuss the relationship, or lack thereof, between this Issur d'Rabbanan and the Issur d'Rabbanan of Hilchos Nida, of some of the Halachos of Hilchos Nida. What are some of the similarities and differences in terms of those areas of Halacha? So there's one last issue that comes up, and that is we've been focusing really completely on the issur of ha'alah in terms of having food on the same table when we're dealing with fleishiks and milchiks. What if it's not fleishiks and milchiks, but it's other macholzos, what if it's treifas? Oh, the dindi, if I want to eat my kosher or a sandwich, and I have a co-worker who's sitting on the table, who I'm very friendly with, who happens to be eating a challah sandwich, he's eating treif. So the dindi, would we say that this issur d'rabbanan for some reason is only limited to fleishiks and milchiks? Does this go across the board? Whatever you can't eat. So we have to be concerned if you have it on the table, lest you come to eat it. So if you take a look at the last of the Maamar Kovos in the sugya, the Shach in Yerideya, the Shach addresses this question. The Shach says, also l'halas al shulchan, v'nira, davka bosa also l'halas al shulchan, shulchan cholav o'ipcha. It would appear to him that this issur only applies meat to milk or milk to meat. What's the svar? Here we have a psychological factor, so we spoke about in the past, that people don't tend to stay away from either meat or milk. Namely, I eat meat all the time. I have milkshakes all the time. The problem is I'm not allowed to have them together, but I don't have that feeling of like trepidation. When I see a slice of pizza, so I don't shake. When I see a hot dog by the time, I don't shake. So it's possible that because people tend to be a little more careless, possibly, when it comes to people aren't separated from those kinds of foods. Why? Because each one is permissible. So therefore, there's more concern. I'm going to forget that inflation is going to end up taking a bite out of the pizza. But if I'm eating kosher food and there happens to be a piece of treif, a piece of chazir, a piece of nevela that the non-Jews eating, or shastam, sitting on the table, while I'm going to eat chazir, all of a sudden I'm going to forget that there's a bit of kashrus in that walk, and I'm going to ask my non-Jewish co-worker for a bite out of a sandwich. Highly unlikely. The chayim of the Iran, the Beis Yosef, he quotes Iran, quoted by the Beis Yosef, who has this idea, this chiluk, this almost psychological chiluk that results in halachic chiluk. But, says the Shach, he takes it about face. Me and my shkos by Rosh and Prushal and the Dorim, Softaf and Malavka, via Mudra and Amichaveiro, Ochim al Shukh. There's a Rosh in the Sechas the Dorim that seems to throw this into question. The context of the Rosh is following, as most of the Dorim, his name, the Kronos deals with, the Dorim will take one from another. So let's say if a person takes a neder that his friend is not going to derive any benefit from him. Or vice versa, his friend takes a net that he's not going to derive a benefit from him, or combination of the two. The Mudra and Noah Zemizeh, two guys got into a fight, and Reuven screams, you're never going to get anything from me, and Shimon, you're never going to get anything from me. They both take a formal Nedarim that they're not going to be Nana from one another. That's a problem. But once Reuven and Shimon are Mudra and Noah Zemizeh, so they're not allowed to be Mahana one another, they're not allowed to eat from one another. Let's say if Reuven is Mudra and Noah from Shimon, that he's not allowed to derive Hanav from Shimon, Shimon gives him a piece of cake, that would be a violation of an Issa Derais, of L'Yachol Devaroi. So the Rosh raises the following, what's the din if you have a Mudra Noah Mechaveiro, So the din is that they're allowed to eat at the same table. So says the Rosh, why are they allowed to eat at the same table? Asks the Rosh, why does the Gemara say that they're allowed to eat together at the same table, each one eating their own food? Why aren't we concerned lest one comes to eat with each other? So the Rosh says, the cave and shehidiru, mistama sodom zeh, tfemi bezach senoim, ochosh horecha zebos dek vira kalasha. Says the Rosh, the reason why Chazal permit the two mudranot to eat at the same table, not concerned they can eat from each other, is because how did they become mudranot in the first place? Because they clearly don't get along. They're clearly not best of friends. Best of friends tend not to do such things, tend not to take the dorm one from another. So obviously, they're not getting along very well. So says the Rosh, they have the halachic status like Beis Achsenoim. What are the Beis Achsenoim of Bos Mecholov? Two guests who don't know each other. So Kavuchar and Madoch, Reuben and Shimon never met each other. So to be concerned that they take a bite out of a stranger's pizza or the middle of my hot dog is highly unlikely. And therefore Chazal permitted it. Says the Rosh Kal Vachoymer, that if the two people, they know each other, God's good, that's wrong. They know each other a little bit too well, and they got into a big, big, huge fight. And now they took the Dorim not to be nana from one another. Says the Rosh, that is the lachic status like Beis Achsenoim. And therefore, there's nothing to worry about. And that's the reason why Chazal permitted it. Ad kan lo shana. That's what the Rosh says. So come to Shach and continues. Mashma, the afil b'shari surim, namadina hochi. Wait a second, why did the Rosh have to look for a solution? The Rosh had to dray around and say, why does Chazal, why does the Gemara say the Darav, they're allowed to eat at the same table? So the Rosh is sitting in trying to figure out, why is that okay? Why is it okay? Why isn't that an Isser of Basur Gvina Lashulchan? Says the Shach, I got a great reason why it's not an Isser. Because it's not Bas Mecholov. We just got finished saying, he just quoted a Ram that says, the Isser der Rabbanu Ba'al Lashulchan is only by Bas Mecholov because of the uniqueness of Bas Mecholov. So why did the Rosh say that? Why did the Rosh have to go around about and come up with another kula? I'm not questioning the legitimacy of the Rosh's other kula, but it was really a little bit superfluous. The Rosh simply said, there's no Isser altogether. It's better to say there's no Isser than to say there's an Isser with a solution. So why didn't the Rosh say there's no Isser? You see, from here, the Taka would have been an Isser. It's not Bas B'chol, it doesn't matter. You see, from here, the Chazal must have extended this Isser to all Isurim, all types of Isurim, including the Darim. And the only reason why the Rosh was able to finagle his way out, why the Darim is Mutter, it must be because of the svara of people don't like each other, they like Beis Achsenoim. That's the Shach's Raya. So then he says, the Eshlomar, he says, no, not necessarily. So the first one is Dina. The Eshlomar, the Darim came and Shenu Asu Elabitzad Nidro, Choshev Kibasa Becholav, Shekalechad Hatam Befnehatzmo, Ababashari Surishov, the mother Rosh, says the Shach, no. It's not necessarily a raya, because maybe what the Rosh's train of thought was as follows. Nidarim should have been closer to the model of Bas Mecholov than to Shari Surim. What was the psychology that differentiated between Bas Mecholov and Shari Surim? Why is it that Chazal were very, very weary, very nervous about Bas Mecholov, and they weren't worried about Shari Surim? The answer is there's no great chokh, no great Torah of it. It's a psychology 101. That Nevelis or Trefus, people take very, very seriously, and no one's going to ever be Nichshalin, because I know I'm Malari Nevela all year long. When it comes to Bas Mecholov, I eat Basar every night, I eat fleshes, every lunch, I eat pizza, so I'm used to eating Bas Mecholov. Nedarim is much closer to Bas Mecholov model, because Nedarim is never really Asar. For the last 6 years, I've been great best friends with this guy, and I've been eating from his food. And I walk around eating from everybody else's food. And now I should go remember that, by the way, yesterday I got into a fight with him, took a ned there, and I'm not allowed to get hanor from him. So that's also like a shtickle of a deal of me day. So Nedarim is closer in model, even though it's not literally Bas Mecholov. But if I asked you, which is it a closer model to? Is it a closer model to Shari Surim, or is it a closer model to Bas Mecholov? So the Shach says it's a much closer model to Bas Mecholov. And therefore, it makes sense that we should have had the Isser. Now, it happens to be, says the Rosh, we're going to circumvent the Isser because it's like Beis Achsenoim, because it's Beis Sonim is the halach equivalent to Beis Achsenoim. But you can't just machavek, you can't just hide behind and say, well, it's Shari Surim, leave me alone, it's Mutter. No. This is an example of quote-unquote Shari Surim that's much closer in psychology to the Bas Mecholov model. So at the end of the day, the Shach hasn't found anybody who disagrees with the Rosh. So hasn't found anybody who disagrees with how we started. And it sounds like it should be mutter. It sounds like the psychology really, really doesn't apply to Shari Surim. and he's not sure that anybody argues. And now the shach is still not finished. The shach keeps on going. Again, the first one is Yisurim. So now the shach quotes, V'had the kos of Arashba, B'tshuvah Simen Kuzayin, it said, the Ovi Gichom Abba'im Chemzol Beis Yisrael. Now we begin to talk about Chometz for Pesach. There's the bridge to, a few weeks ago, we'll switch over to the YU schedule. The yeshiva starts with 2 weeks from now. So we're going to hopefully begin to learn Maseches Pesachim. We still got a little Rechul left. Don't worry, we're still hanging in there for a little while. So comes the Shach and says, wait a second, there's a sugya, there's a Tshuvas HaRashba that talks about Chometz of Pesach. This is a very, very common shaila. A goy walks into a Beis Yisrael with Chometz, and he wants to eat his Chometz. Now, that happening in you and I's house is probably unlikely for the following reason. That you forget about what the Shach says, what the Gemara says, what the Rashba says. Your wife's going to have what to say about that. She's probably not going to like the non-Jew coming in with a slice of pizza into the house. It reminds me of somebody once told me that Scheinberg, once speaking in a shir about cleaning up for Pesach. So he said, you know, the Mishnah says, Makom she'emech nismechomet, entzach bedika. The din is clear. If you have an area that nobody brings chomets in the whole year, there's no chomets to bedikas chomets. I have a closet on the top of nowhere that I haven't opened in 20 years. There's no mitzvah bedikas chomets. I'm going to check. It's a Makom she'emech nismechomets. I think most speaks about peru and batle. It's just a very, very small crumbs. All kind of sugyas, all kind of dinim and shulchan aruch as to what really, truly requires bedikas chomets and what doesn't. So finally somebody asked Scheinberg in the Shia, Rabbi, tell me, does your wife really not check the closets that she hasn't used in 20 years? Does your wife really say, oh yeah, whatever's under the fridge is chomesh nafla of mapoilas? Does she really rely on those coolers? So again, I didn't hear it directly from Scheinberg, I heard it from a cliche, but he responded something along the lines of, said, I have my shulchan aruch, and she has her shulchan aruch on Erev Pesach. So women have different standards for Erev Pesach. So here, the din me'ika mikra din is, if a non-Jew walks into your house and wants to eat his chametz in your house, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's a fair shigamar. You mind first pecha psachim? Nachish nichnas l'beis yishol v'chemtz v'yad o'echem. Why is it mutter? Gival, I have chametz in my house. So what? The Torah says, well, you're all the chametz. You're allowed to see it. You're allowed to have a goy's chametz. You're allowed to see the goy's chametz in your house. It's not a problem. We all have non-Jewish chametz in the house. It's called the chametz that we sell. When you sell your chametz to a non-Jew, it's sitting in your closet. That's also chametz shel acha, but that's okay. There's a din midrabbanan that if a non-Jew has chametz in your house, so there's a concern you may come to eat it. For that, the Gemara says you should make a mechitza 10 tefachim. If the non-Jew leaves it, he deposits it, he puts it down in your house, and he walks out, so then you should put a mechitz of 10 tefachim in front of it. That's why it's important. When all the chametz that you sell, you have to make sure it's behind closed doors, it's locked up, the opening closed. You can't put it in the coat closet and go to the closet every 5 minutes. That's not called a mechitz of 10 tefachim. That's the mechitz that you're not going to open, you're not going to take apart. So you have to put it away in the closet, you lock up the closet, that's a mechitz of 10 tefachim. That din, by the way, a lot of people get confused about this. A lot of people think that it's okay. They can take the chametz and leave it in the fridge, put it in the freezer on Pesach. So if your fridge or freezer is not going to be accessible, you're going to tape it up, that's one thing. But if it's going to be open, so that's, although in the Torah, that's not a problem. With the Rabbanan, that is a problem. You have to have mechitza 10 tefachim. Unless it's not really chametz. If it's just kidney oils, so we leave a lot of stuff over. You want to leave kidney oils, you want to leave other things that are not really chametz anyway. So that's okay. So just leave it in the fridge and just put a little note on the bag saying don't use on Pesach. I always have we always leave a lot of kidneyous kinds of products in the fridge downstairs. And I usually just put it into a bag. I'm always very weary to write on it chometz. It's not emes, chometz. If it would be chometz, it wouldn't be sitting in my fridge. So I don't want to write a whole lung dish. It's only kidneyous. Also, liocha kidney. I just write on it not for Pesach. And everybody, hopefully, everyone in the family, and I underline the word not. So the person will miss the word not, let's see for Pesach. So underline the word not, big bold letters, not for Pesach, that's good enough. But getting back to the story, so if the non-Jew leaves chametz in your house, that's a problem with the Rabbanan. If the non-Jew is holding on to the chametz, then there's nothing to worry about. If the non-Jew is walking into my house, eating his slice of pizza, what are we afraid of? If we're afraid I'm going to pull him over and steal his chametz, that's nothing to worry about. So the Rabbanan, that's okay. Mishnah Berurah points out that that although it's mutter both minatar amid the rabbanon for the non-Jew to eat his own chametz, even in my house, nevertheless, the Shabur says that he's my worker and I usually provide him with food, so that's a problem. Why is that? Because then is a shtickl marasai, and then it gives off the impression that I may be feeding him chametz as part of his salary. And that would be a big problem. There's an isser hanoch chametz. I'm not allowed to feed my non-Jewish worker chametz on Pesach. That would be my violation of nenem lechametz. And Shabur quotes that if it's a non-Jewish worker who was usually supported by you, usually he fed by you lunch, so then you thought I should not have him eat his own chametz. Don't let him bring his own chametz, because that gives off the wrong message. That's the marasayin. It looks like you're giving him chametz on Pesach. I had the shayla once. Years ago, they called me frantically from the mall on Chol Moed Pesach that she's taking the kids on a little excursion. We won't discuss the Hatayim or Suma buying things on Pesach. It must have been Simchas Yomta for sure. As I'm sure everyone here on the call knows, that there's a fundamental difference generally between men and women, whether a mall experience is a Simchas Yomta or whether it's Agmas Nefesh, but our better halves are towards a Simchas Yomta. So again, without discussing the intricacies of what is or is not a mutter in the malls. But about a month, she was in the mall with the kids, and the kids were little at the time, and she took the babysitter along with her. So the babysitter was hungry. So she asked my wife, because she just got herself, she apparently had been sick and tired of, by the third day Chol Moed already, of having matzah and cream cheese. So she asked, could she just go to one of the stores and get some tea? My wife said, good, someday, no problem. She gets something to eat. So she went ahead and got herself a slice of pizza. And she was walking back to the car, and she wanted to bring the pizza in the car on the way back. So my wife called frantic, can she bring the pizza back into the car? So I said, wait a second, that's a whole different ballgame. I said, Nina Torah, it's okay. Because Shalchaya Tarot Rosh Hashanah, having a non-Jewish chametz is okay. But the Rabbanan Nikra did it also mutter, because they're holding it. It's not that they put it down. If she leaves it in the car and goes away and wants to leave it as a pikal, that's a different story. She's holding it in her hand, so it's chemtza biyadah. The Mars of the Farish, that's about the both of the Rabbanan. But it's a babysitter. And a babysitter is someone who we usually, we usually not only pay, but we give them lunch. So babysitters in the house from like the 500 days, so it's understood, we're going to give them lunch. So now Kozman, that my wife gives it $10 and says, go to the pizza store yourself and go and buy yourself lunch. And eating the pizza store, I don't think there's any marasayim. I'm not buying her. If my wife would go into the store and buy her pizza, give it to her, that would be a problem. I'm giving the non-Jew $10. It's her salary. Because I pay her $100 at the end of the day, but she can't go and buy dinner. She can't go to the store and buy chametz. So as long as she's not eating it near me, it's not a nikolayim, it's not a marasayim, that's not a problem. But she's going to walk into my car, which is in a sense an extension of my rishus, carrying the pizza and eating lunch, so that gives off a bad message. That's like the marasayan, like as if I'm feeding a chametz. So I told my wife, she has to tell her one of two things. Either she has to go to the store, let her eat the pizza in the bowl herself, finish up her pizza and come back, or she has to eat matzah and cream cheese for another day. I need not tell you which one she chose. I also had this like nightmares of thinking that here I spent $300 to get my car shampooed. My car was cleaned better than I was cleaned for, but it was shampooed from head to toe with every seat taken out and everything. And then she's going to come and have a slice of pizza in the car. Just the thought was shaking. But Mikra did, except for the Marasayan issue, it would have been mutter. But that's what we did in the Gemara. Everything I just said is the sugya at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. But wait a second. Rishon say, hold the phone. What if the non-Jew is going to come and eat the pizza on your table? And again, putting aside the issues of that maybe that's not the greatest thing, greatest message for your children to have somebody eating pizza, and unless it's not as them, maybe there's no more marasayin anymore, because it's kosher Pesach pizza. Although the minute that you taste it, it'll be mara lefiat tam. I don't think anyone in their right mind would ever confuse kosher Pesach pizza for regular pizza to taste, but maybe lefi marasayin. But wait a second, we have a problem. The problem is that how can I sit down and eat my matzah at the same table that the non-Jews eating their chametz? Isn't that a isra of osla halos ala bosom magvina? Isn't that a bosom magvina problem? Isn't that a concern that we're having gezeira shemiyoychem imenu? I'm going to eat from the non-Jew, so that's a whole different realm. So the bayi rabbi matzah is nishkefilach. The shemi yavali yochlo in the sense of the non-Jew put it down. He didn't put it down. It's holding his hands. So there's no concern. I'm going to bowl him over and take him and steal his chametz. But isn't there another problem? Isn't there this concern of boss and gvina on the same table, i.e. chametz and kosher pesach on the same table? Yeah. You have some other questions there? Oh, sorry, okay. So come the... So comes the Shach and quotes a Rashba. She was a Rashba. So let's continue back to the Rashba. So let's take a look at the first one line is Isurim. That's seven lines down. The end of the line. Very end of the line. The Ovikicham Abayim Chemsel Beis Yisrael. If a non-Jew comes with his chametz, with his pizza to the Jewish home, Osa Alosi Bo'al HaShulchan. You're not allowed to eat at the same table together. U'pasakach B'Shulchan Aruch. So it sounds like this is going against the theory. The Shach is developing this whole theory that there really is no Isser of Basu Gvina outside of Basu B'cholam. I'm allowed to have Chazer on the table when I eat. I'm allowed to have the Velsa Trepas when I eat. The only thing I'm not allowed to have is Basu Gvina, or maybe the Dorim, as we spoke about before. So the Rashba seems to say no. The Rash seems to say that's a problem with my Chametz. So says the Shach, no, that's also not a raya. Near the also mishum chumid the chametz shiny, the came in the chametz of mashu rochu shleis arapir echmasha ovik chametzal Yisrael. Which goes to Rash Basham. Says, no, if you look at the Rash, you'll notice there is a different concern altogether. We are not really afraid I'm going to forget its Pesach and take a bite out of the goy's pizza. That's not the real concern. The real concern is that the non-Jew is going to have pizza on my table, and it's going to leave some crumbs. And some of those crumbs may subsequently get into my food. So that's a whole different ballgame. Now, why aren't we worried about that by other Isurim? Because, quite frankly, says the Shach, other Isurim, both of Mashishim. What are the odds that, say, a non-Jew's eating his chazir, and a little, a minuscule, a piece of chazir is going to be left behind, and that piece of chazir may fall into my soup? So well, it's going to be both of Mashishim anyway. Who cares? My chametz can't say who cares. In case we forgot from a few months ago, chametz ben chasu l'mashu. Chametz of Pesach is also even the smallest amount. Again, for a variety of reasons, as we spoke so much about, whatever the reason is, the bottom line is Chametz of Pesach is also b'mashu. So says the Shach, the fact that the Rash would make such a fuss about having a non-Jew eating Chametz at my table, that has nothing to do with the Gezeirah D'Rabbanan that we're talking about. This is not the Basu Gvina issue. This is not that you're going to forget and take a bite out of the guy's pizza. It's not going to happen. He says, by other Yisum, we're not concerned with that. What the Rash was really concerned with was the Tarovis issue, which again would be unique to Chametz. Teda, and then the Shach says, I feel we have Sigma Apakos also, because if you look carefully, the Rashba says, even if the non-Jew has his own tablecloth, it would be a problem. Now, normally having a separate tablecloth solves the world's problems, because that creates a Heker. Says the Shach, but this is not an issue of Heker. This is not an issue of forgetting. This is an issue of Tarovis. So far the Shach is still coasting. We still haven't found anybody who said that the Isra applies out of Bas L'chol. We thought we had a rush, we deflected the rush. We thought we had a rush, but we deflected the rush. But nobody yet. He says there's an Orchus Chaim. Orchus Chaim was written by Rabbeinu Osher, but not by the rush. It's different Rabbeinu Osher. Rabbeinu Osher mi lunil. L'chora shekaz shom zel shonu. Im rotza obik yichovim lecho chometz. I'm sorry, Rabbi Aaron Milgo. Im rotza obi gicham lecho chametz veis Yisrael, mutter, afilo shuchin Yisrael, kavr adav lahatir, ze matz ze chametz, tub de shlech sanoyim, says the Shach, there's an Orchus Chaim that says, you're allowed to sit down with a non-Jew. On Pesach, you're eating your Pesach, your matz is eating his chametz, and that's okay. You know why? Because that's like bezach sanoyim. Because you don't really know the non-Jew anyway. That's a problem. So says the Shach. He says, for the fact that the Orchus Chaim had a bend over backwards, just give the reason because it's like Bezach Sanoim, it's like two strangers. Sounds like if it's your non-Jewish co-worker who you eat lunch with every day, that would be a problem. Ad kan, the chumras of the Shach. So the Shach says that I tried to find a chumra, I finally found one. Yochus Chaim applies it to Chametz, that's a riot that applies to other Isurim. With trepidation, who are we to argue with the Shach? But Lefini is not, they don't understand the Shach. The Shach is talking about, is there a problem of Basum Gvina by other Isurim? Is there anything wrong with having a non-Jew eating Chazer and me eating my kosher a kosher or a deli sandwich at the same table. Is that a problem or not? And the Shach had a gevaldike svara l'chale. What was the svara? The svara was that by basar gvina, there's much more reason for concern because it's lo b'dilei minei, because people don't think of it as being asur, because I can eat meat, I can eat milk, I just can't eat them together. So psychologically, there's much more reason for concern. So he's pilpuling, maybe that svara is a good svara, maybe, yeah, maybe not, back and forth. He brings a raya from where? From chametz. Chametz is the ultimate lo b'dilei minei. Chametz, the Rishonim already ran him, Sochem Dabbeis, this will be all from Metzah Shem, one of the first shiurim of the upcoming Zman. Chametz is the example par excellence of something which is lo b'dilei minei. Because chametz, I eat chametz all year long. When I see a piece of pizza on Pesach, I don't like get all nervous, start to sweat. I said maybe I do, but psychologically I don't, because chametz is something I associate as being something that's a davar mutter. Nevelos of treifas chazer is something I consider to be also. I see a non-Jew eating a hot dog, I wouldn't in a million years dream of eating that hot dog. But I see a slice of pizza on the table, why do I get so nervous, even on Pesach? It's lo b'dilei, people forget. So just because the Rishonim say that there's a problem having chametz on the table on Pesach, and you're eating your matzah, why does that translate to mean you can't have chazer on the table? So it's very, very strange. The Shach is bringing a raya from chametz to shari surim, and chametz is much, 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 much closer to the basar b'chalav model than it is to the shari surim model. So again, I never understood the Shach. This is not my idea that chametz is lo b'dilei minei. This is the Rishonim write this for the Feirush in Pesachim and Abayis. I think it's even the first thing that we're going to talk about. Why is there a mitzvah b'dikas chametz? Why did Chazal instill b'dikas chametz? Tosfos asks the Kasha, why didn't they instill b'dikas shari surim? A new chum, you move into a new house that a non-Jew lived in, you should be mechuyav to do b'dikas chametz to find b'dikas chazer. We don't find anywhere you have to go under the bed to find maybe the non-Jew left a deli sandwich under the bed. There's no such thing. Why? Because even if I find the deli sandwich, who's going to eat the non-Jew's meat? Chametz. If I find the bigger pretzels under the bed, and I eat it during the course of Pesach, because it's lo b'dilei minei. I always give the example, when a person goes to a baseball game on Chol HaMoed Pesach, so I'm not worried that he's going to forget and order a hot dog. Who orders a hot dog? I mean, Trefa. Who's going to order a Trefa hot dog at a ball game? But it's possible he may forget it. He may buy a bag of pretzels. If he buys a bag of pretzels, I don't know whether people eat pretzels at games. Yes, they do. If a guy eats a pretzel at every other game, so then it comes Pesach. He's eating in this excitement in a moment. He's going to forget that it's Pesach. So that's exactly what Pesach says, that chametz is more lo b'dilei than other isurim. So again, I don't understand the Shach. But the bottom line is, the good news is, when we come up with the Viran Nirin, he says the Pashas Advarim is that it's okay. The Pashas Advarim is like the Ran start off the sugi by saying this Issa D'Rabban of Allah's Basuk Bita together was something that was only said by Shari Surim. It was only said by Subhachalab. It wasn't said by Shari Surim. But he says now he turns a bad face. V'chemesh Baskol Poskim. Shlo Koskus was there. Elagai Basu B'Cholav. The Gan Reli says it. The Shach, the Orchis Chaim Modal is there, El the Shiny Hossam, the Halechem Yichya Adam, the Rogelbo, Kohashanav Lobadili in Shiminei. So comes the Shach and says, you know, maybe we have to be more machmir with bread, and we have to be machmir with other things. Bread is just bread. People don't think twice for eating bread. Everyone has to eat bread. I'm nervous, I have to eat bread. A piece of meat, I'll think 20 times. Should I eat the meat? Should I not eat the meat? Do I need the calories? Do I need the cholesterol? Yeah, people can I afford that piece of meat? Is it necessary that piece of meat? Remember reading something, bread, people eat bread all the time. And since bread is such a staple of life, therefore we have to be more weary with bread. And because of this, Svara, and the Shach has a potential right for the Gemara to this, then he concludes, skip down to the last line, he says, if Reuven's eating a sandwich, a regular sandwich on a regular Tuesday in the middle of the year, and the non-Jew's eating tray for bread, but that's the problem. That's more of a problem. So the strange thing, if the non-Jew's eating chazir, that's okay. Because chazir, who's going to ever forget? They eat the non-Jew's meat. People don't think about eating meat all the time. So to be concerned of eating meat, but to be concerned of eating bread, that's more of a chumrah. Even though obviously in the greater scheme of things, the meat is, so to speak, more tray than the bread. But if you have non-kosher bread, that's what we have to be worried about. This will throw a curveball at us. This will lead us to believe. Now, wait a second. A very, very strange thing. I'm eating with my coworker. So Kozman, that my coworker is not a big carbs man. He's eating just a piece of meat. He's eating a salad with bacon in it. So that's okay. Who's going to forget and eat the non-Jew's bacon? That's not going to happen. But the minute that he has a piece of bread, I have to go check the hashgacha on the bread. Make sure it's OU bread. Because if it's trefir bread, all of a sudden that's awesome. That's what the shach concludes. Strange, almost like a benafichu. I don't want to get into the habit of arguing the shach, especially twice in one morning. But maybe one could suggest that bizman hazeh, the shach doesn't apply as much. But the shach is almost talking about a certain mindset, as he quotes the pasuk from this week's parsha. Alalechem levad yichyad enough, because we all know it doesn't really say that. It says the opposite in the Chumash. It says kilo alalechem levado. But what it means to say is, don't think that you need bread so much. Kilo alalechem levad yichyad. But the mice, you do need bread. The mice, that is the staple of life. So maybe we can argue that's the staple of life. And in old days, where there was no other food to eat, so people ate a lot of bread in the Middle Ages, in the days of the Shach, in the days of the Shach, in the 15th and 1600s. People ate an awful lot of bread. I tell you why they ate an awful lot of bread, because there was nothing else to eat. In Eastern Europe, it was a general rule. There was very little things grew. There weren't all that many vegetables. Nobody could afford meat. So fish was forget about mice, except for a piece of herring. So people didn't eat so much. They didn't eat anything. So it was a very cheap, easy, efficient way to get calories. So they ate an awful lot of bread. So maybe one can argue that if you live in a society that bread is such a staple, then there's always that fear, I'm going to take the bread off the other guy's plate. Today, most people don't even, in the non-Jewish world, I don't think people eat bread that much. We eat a lot of bread because we have this mindset, you got to wash. Everywhere you got to wash the Shabbos meals and Yom Tov meals and Chasanas and Bar Mitzvahs and Pidgin Abens and Brisim and Siyum Masechta every year. We're washing right and left. So we're suffering brachas, we end up washing for that. It's Rosh Chodesh, Minig, that bread, it's Chol HaMoed, it's Erev Yom Kippur, it's Motzei Yom Kippur. It's every time there's Motzei Tisha B'Av, so my wife asked me, do we have to wash? I tried to think to my list of what possible mitzvah could there be? It's like, is there a Shavuot to Yom Kippur? Motzei Yom Kippur, the first day you need to wash. So Jews tend to wash a lot. So maybe as man as that, we don't have that concern so much. It's not such a zalech. Unless you say, because we're from Jews, we wash a lot. So we're going to eat the non-Jews bread. That's going to be our big time. We're going to get to eat the non-Jews trefir bread. And to you and me, most of the bread's black kosher. The odds are 99% chance that non-Jews eating an OU bread anyway. It's very hard to find. Most of the breads on the market are kosher. I remember I was once flying years ago, and it was flying to California. And in those days, they were still giving meals on the plane. So it was ready a couple of years ago. So they I had ordered a special kosher meal. And it came, and I didn't recognize the Chassidish Hashkoch. I didn't really know what it was the cream cheese. And the roll that they had was a whole chagadja with fruit juice, with baisalach, with brachas. Everything on the plate had a halachic problem with it. And I noticed there was a non-Jew who was sitting next to me. He had the regular plain goyish trefir pack. What was the trefir pack? The trefir pack was a lender's bagel with a Philadelphia cream cheese. So I was very tempted. I didn't. I was very, very tempted to swap with him. I said there were significantly less shilas on the OU closed up bagel with the okay closed up cream cheese. Then the Hasidish stuff, I couldn't figure out what in the world I'm brachah to make on it with the Chavis Shal cream cheese. I had no idea whose Ashkacha was on there. So I couldn't bring myself to do that, but I was thinking hard about doing it. So anyway, whatever it is, if a person by some quirk is sitting down for lunch and their non-Jewish neighbor or non-Jewish coworker is eating bread, if you peek over not so conspicuously and see that it's an OU bread, it's okay. And if it's not an OU bread, even though the Shach said it, I don't want to argue myself against the Shach, but I could hear Svar L'chalik possibly bizman hazeh, especially the non-Jews got trefir meat on a sandwich, and it's even less likely they're going to go and ask him for his bread to leave his meat behind. Very, 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 very unlikely. So I don't know, maybe it's a torchil l'maisa, but what can I think about it? The best case scenario, if you put a napkin underneath, you're probably doing it anyway. You're sitting at an office table. You're probably putting something down anyway. For other reasons, cleanliness and halachic reasons, so that would circumvent your problem. Okay, so I think we pretty much finished the sugya. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue. Okay.